writer there uttered some words that really summarize the aim and the purpose of the church. Now, I know that many folk today have lots of different ideas of what the church is about, and it's true that the church, even the evangelical church, is involved in much around this country, even the other country. But whenever we read there in the book of Acts, and the chapter 20, the verse 27, here is a summarization of the real aim and purpose of the church. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. He did not pick and choose to suit his congregation. He did not skip over parts that he felt might bring trouble to himself. But rather, he preached the word as it was. In order for us, to men and women, as they were, in all their need, whether saved or unsaved. Another time when the apostle was speaking to young Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the verse 7, this is what he said to him. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And again, in the immediate context here, if you look there, for instance, at verse 4, it is a reference to his preaching. And he's referring to what Timothy would endure. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. He went to great lengths to impress upon the mind of his young friend Timothy that the vital element in all of his ministry would be fulfilling the word of God. My ministers have many things to do. Depends what size of a congregation, of course, but in a large congregation at any given time, there's usually a number of people that are unwell, and sometimes there are people unwell in hospital in small congregations too. And you know all the other kinds of responsibilities that become the minister's way from time to time, you know, various responsibilities in the work, with session and so on. And if it is a bigger work, very often those responsibilities are multiplying. But every preacher ought to be a preacher first. He is a preacher first. And Paul was very, very aware of that. Why did other things, lots of them, to do? Because he spoke of the burden of all the churches. So much rested upon his shoulders. Sometimes he certainly did not enjoy the help he should have found. But first of all, Paul was a preacher, and as he wrote to Timothy, he wanted him to make sure, irrespective of whether people turned their ears away or not, he had to preach the word. And the instant in season and out of season and so on. And as he was writing here to the church at Colossae, I'm sure that you're familiar by now that the problem was that there was heretics seeking to peddle their heresy in the congregation and to weaken the witness and to take away from the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak of him as one who was little more than an animation. Someone who wasn't everything that people like the Apostle Paul made him out to be. And they were seeking to plant the seeds of doubt and to cause people to waver, to lose their steadfastness. And as he spoke to them, they remember the word that he referred to the last time when he spoke about his service and so on during the sufferings that he endured for the sake of the gospel. He then says these words that make up our thanks today, to fulfill the word of God. It's here in the same verses with the suffering. It was to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid for ages and for generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. The Apostle Paul, he labored with single-minded devotion. And not only comes, but there is a heart-to-heart communion with the Lord, and a warm devotional life, and a commitment that the world will not thank you for. That is what is required. He had single-minded devotion. He had direct focus on the task that was given him. Imagine something my wife just yesterday evening. The Apostle Paul only gave 3 missionary journeys. Mighty man he was. Just 3 missionary journeys. And all were to the same general area. He could have perhaps done so much if he had gone so much further. It's true to say concerning Paul that few impacted their area of work in than he did. But perhaps we think that he could have done so much more if he had gone a lot further than that. But his life was effective, and brothers and sisters, it's important to remember this. His life was effective because he limited it. He limited his service to doing God's will for him. And God's will, as we read through the Word, was to go to the places that he went to. And he was completely, when he used the word, he was completely consumed with fulfilling the Word. And these Colossians would need to have that same kind of devotion. Because a Pharisee can get you in any way to downgrade your ministry, then the thin end of the wedge is already in. And many, many disasters can fall after that. Remember C.H. Spurgeon, I'm sure some of you are aware of the downgrade controversy that he suffered, and there were some occasions when people who had stood for the truth and for the purity of the gospel and for the way that the word should be preached, to stick for years. They didn't stand with him anymore. Now many people believe that contributed to his death. He broke his heart, and it affected him in a terrible way. But he couldn't budge nonetheless, because he was like the Apostle Paul. He was determined to fulfill the word of God. And folks, that is the ministry of the church, declaring all the counsel of God. We mentioned to you there a petition that people have asked to be signed that will be handed over in order that there might be a freedom of conscience clause. And it is a very sad day when people can put the gun, metaphorically speaking, to your head, and they can tell you, here's what you're going to do because I want you to do it. And you're not allowed to bring Christianity into it. And folks, that when you defer all the counsel of God, when you do not seek to be disrespectful to people for the sake of it, you ignore things like that. And people can say what they like. And they all address it in one. The responsibility of the Church of Jesus Christ is to fulfill the Word. And I want to draw your attention to these words this morning where he says, fulfill the Word of God. I want you to notice some things that I believe we will be able to identify with and trust that you will be encouraged enough today. I want you to notice, first of all, the problem of delay. The problem of delay. I once was in a meeting with a lady who was there, and she'd been praying quite a few times, you know, that for a number of weeks or months that certain things would happen. And they did not happen in the church life. And then the prayer changed slightly to, Lord, we need it to happen now. And then that person became, I believe, disturbed. And with that discouragement came a degree of disillusionment, which did not help her or her family either. Because God's Word, brethren and sisters, remember what the Apostle said of it long ago. The Word of God, it's the good seed. The good seed of the Word of God. And if it is good seed, then it is to be sown. And we cannot see anywhere in the Bible where we are shown that in the sowing of that seed, that there will be an immediate fruition. Can't find it. But nonetheless, the Word of God going on. But sometimes there can be delay. Over there in the Psalm, and we quoted this in your presence before, it says here in the Psalm 126, these have been great days for Christians. Revival, we believe, is spoken of in the early part of the Psalm there. But it says in verse 9, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that go forth and weepeth, very precious seed. Now, the only precious seed that we have is the Word of God. That's all. Very precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see the word there, he that goeth forth and weepeth? The reference there really is to persevering in the work, even though there has been disappointment. In fact, in the original, it carries the meaning of tearful disappointment. People are not listening. The good word has been sown, and people seem to treat it as something that is very little importance as far as they're concerned. Maybe not relevant to their current lifestyle. Maybe something that would upset their career plans, or would in some way cause friction in their circle of friends. The number of reasons are many. And we can say that many times we are faced with the problem of delay. And folks, some of you are involved here. While I speak to everyone, I want this to be for you as well. Especially for you. You are involved with sowing the good seed of the Word. You're very confident in it, because it was the Word of God that came to fruition in your heart and mind and changed you. And you're very confident in the Word, but as time goes by, sometimes the problem of delay, well, it can cause discouragement. Over there in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 11 and the verse 1, this is what it says: cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. The reference here, of course, being to the Word, acknowledging the sovereignty of God. If you look there in verse 5, it says, as thou knowest not what is in the way, what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. God here is sowing abundantly, and keep on sowing abundantly, even though we do not know what way the Word of God, whenever it is sown, will affect certain individuals. The promise is there. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. If you've got a margin Bible there, you may see that it means cast it upon the face of the water. And that indicates, then it is moving along in the illustration here. The Word of God isn't dead. And when you sow it, it is good seed, and that is good seed that in God's time and in God's way will come to fruition. And I'm the first this morning to admit that this great problem of delay, sometimes, and we want to be very careful with this, because sometimes it can lead to despair. It can lead to despair. We all know about Jeremiah. He was the weeping prophet. He was the one who sowed the word for so many years, and so few wanted to listen to him. In fact, you'll be hard pushed to find many at all who did listen to him. And we have in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, if you've turned to it before, it says in verse 7 there, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Here's a man, and he's not talking sense. He's not being himself. He says, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I am, and hast prevailed. I am in derision. Everyone mocketh me. I trust you haven't got to that point yet, but you may do. Maybe even in your, somewhere in your life, there's an area, and you're trying to witness to someone, and this is the outcome. You feel that you're on your own, and you feel that everyone's just says here, for since I sinned, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. The reference here is this man was preaching the word of God in all his ministry. He was declaring all of the counsel of God. He says here, but the word was made a reproach unto me and a derision to Eli. Eli, getting nowhere as far as he could see it. And here's the outcome for him. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Here's a crisis in this man's mind. Folks, this can be a crisis in our life. There are folk who would have been perhaps in many respects just like you and I, and they were doing their bit, and there was delay. Delay in what? And when they were showing the seed, there was delay as far as the result is concerned. And from I come here, I suppose it's heading towards 10 years ago now, I've always said that when we have a gospel mission, treat it as though we've never had one before. Just go out and treat it with the same degree of expectancy, with the same degree of confidence, and with the same degree of reliance upon the Lord, as though we've never had a mission before. God forbid you never come and say, well, we can get through the 2 weeks, but nothing will happen because we've done it all before. Not very many people are really that. It's not really the way to go. People who were involved, you can think of some. And today we're finding them very far from the meeting. Never found in God's house. One man, and whenever I first was converted, it was a great help to me. And I don't know, my preacher from a couple of times, and but things came along, and without going into detail, before too long, let's say after a number of years, when I met that man down the street, which I did sometimes, or met him in the lorry or whatever, I put my hand up, wouldn't even speak. It wasn't that he did anything personally against me. It's just he wanted to wash his hands of the whole thing. That's what Jeremiah did it to. When he said here, I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But it says there, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, I could not stay. The thought here is of internal ardor. Deep down you love the Lord. That is why it was heartbreaking when you think of some people who have got into the snare. And sometimes delay is the problem. The brothers and sisters, if you look over there, I'll just turn to Peter. I'm trying to encourage each one of us here to continue to hold on. It says there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Then listen to this, sir. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. See that? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. It's so easy to measure the whole situation using nothing but cold reason. Human sense, if you like. And not factoring this fact that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Yes, of course, it is natural and human for you and I, when we sow the good seed of the word, we want to see the fruit now, and I believe we should pray to that end. That we will see fruit, and visible fruit that would remain. But remember this, that here's God's way. God is not slack concerning his promise. And how many promises are there concerning the validity and the power of God's word to change not only individuals, but to change whole communities and to turn around whole villages and towns? We believe it's all there. And the promise is that the word will not return void. He is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, and when men start getting into, you and I even, we start getting into how God should be doing his work regarding his word, then we're venturing into that which is not our concern. Our concern is to sow the seed. But there is a problem of delay. And I want to finish this point by mentioning three things to you. Again, being limited as we are, and our finite minds cannot understand everything, we need to be very, very careful, because there, first of all, I want God's work in general, sometimes there is divine delay. I want you to look at that page in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Divine delay. It says there in Acts chapter 16. Verse 5 shows us that in great times, since the churches here were established, they were built up in the faith and increased in number daily. It was a pretty good day. It was a wee bit like Nepal or some parts of China today. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I'm not familiar with the geography of Nepal and so on, but when things are going so well just now in Nepal, if there was a natural, what seemed to be a natural opening to go into a neighbouring land, was there, and it seemed like the logical thing to go there with the gospel as well, and there are people trying to do that, it would be very easy to push on and think, well, maybe the Lord doesn't really want us to go there. We believe that these were experienced people who were going. It says that they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. See that? What does this passage show us? This passage shows us that sometimes there is divine delay. There is divine delay. And you see here that the important thing is that these folks were in touch with the Lord. They were not going forward in a haphazard way. But they were in touch with the Lord, seeking His face, because you read right in the next verse there, verse 10, and after he had seen a vision, that's the way the Lord did speak in those days to some people, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. How did he know that the Lord wasn't going to forbid him going here as well? And the Lord told me in other things that because they were in touch with the Lord. And folks, that says one thing to me. We all need to pray. Pray that the Lord will guide us and that we will not be jumping about and moving about in fits and starts, and we will not be led by our mere feelings, but rather we will look to the Lord for His leading. You probably don't need me to remind you today that there is some parts of Northern Ireland, there are certain churches, witnesses, again, not just here, the last churches, but I feel I have to say this, there are certain churches, and there's a man speaking to me about this, I believe Reverend Higginson, and I was talking about it, week of prayer, but the way up around, somewhere around the Port Stewart area, around that area, there's this church, and people are even, young people are even leaving what is already a very charismatic church. But they're leaving it to go to this other one. Such is the drawing power of the ministry, modern ministry, so called. And it seems to be that the music and so on, and the whole tenor of the thing, plays upon people's emotion. Not too much of the gospel in you. Such a thing is divine delay, but we need to be very careful, because not only is there divine delay, sometimes there's devilish delay. Turn, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll hear that Paul had a great burden for the people he was writing to. While he loved all the churches he was involved with, we believe that he had a very great love for the church of Thessalonica. It says here, in verse 18 of chapter 2, in 1 Thessalonians, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once in the game. In other words, more than once he would have liked to have come. But Satan hindered us. He hindered us. You see, the word hindered, that word means to come and to abruptly cut in. Have you ever been in a queue of some person? We tend to think sometimes, oh, young people today and all. Not a young person, usually somebody not young. They come up in the queue and they just cut in. And you sort of go, I'll say nothing. That's the way you do, you just take the place in the queue. And they cut in the queue. Well, that's really, they're abruptly cutting in, but here's something far more serious than that. It is devil today is working overtime to try to abruptly cut in on the work of God. And if you're trying to do anything to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, however insignificant it may appear to be to you, that is, your work may appear to be to you, the devil will try to abruptly cut in. He will bring doubts to your mind. He will bring to your mind thoughts of, well, what about other people? What are they doing? Or I don't like the way she does this, or some other thing other than the task in hand. Remember the Apostle Paul, what he said about him, his single-minded devotion and his direct focus on the task of the given him. He could have gone anywhere. It's just three missionary journeys, all in the same general area. Why do you do that? Because God led him there. An old man went to a little work many years ago. He was there and he was became a very well-known preacher. And I remember one man, he said, what's he doing, you know, staying in that wee work? Man, plenty of ability, a whole lot of things. What's he doing staying in that wee work? And the other man, he said, because the Lord would have him there. The Lord would have him there. And that's how it was with the Apostle Paul. And folks, that we sing the psalm sometimes, you and your small corner, 9-9. That's where we are. And you and I would need men and women who are earnestly seeking the Lord. It's not enough to say, to come with some fanciful notion, I don't want to do this, or I've decided that this is not working, or it's not working at all, perhaps. We need to be able to discern and ask the Lord to give us perception so that we can tell the difference between divine delay, preaching the word, you can't go wrong if you're preaching faithfully, and God will bring it to fruition in his own time. But devilish delay, the devil coming in, you need to watch out for that. And how does he come into it? He can use a backslidden Christian to cut in and perhaps chipping away at you and wearing you down, discouraging you. Not good. And we need to continually look to the Lord with the devotion that the apostles have. There's a problem of today, but I'm moving on here very quickly. There's a practice of discipline. Paul refused to be drawn into the difficult and the different controversies of the day. There are all kinds of things going on around him. Plenty of notions about all, just to go to our country like any other country. But he, when he was writing to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:4, he was referring to him there in words of like, paraphrasing, to not be consumed with the words of prayer. Not to be consumed. Once a Christian gets consumed with the way of the world and the things that are going on around and the controversies of the day and gets caught up in all of these things, he's almost sure to lose out with the Lord. Now, when you're living in the world, as we have to do, it is not easy to do that. It means some degree of self-denial. The apostle was writing there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And as you're aware, he had plenty of things to say to this church. It says here in verse 26 of chapter 9 in 1 Corinthians, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so by line, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. The word subjection there means to lead something into servitude. He had to consciously act here. Bring it into subjection, lest that the enemy, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And please understand, the word castaway there in Greek is the word adopimus, which does not mean lost. And some people might try to tell you. It does not mean that I should be lost. He means that I should be, and the word means not approved. Not approved. And therefore, he saw the necessity here of exercising discipline. The practice of discipline was a big part of his own life. Yeah, we looked there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. We looked at this section before and tying it in with one of the messages in chapter 1. But it says there in verse 5, chapter 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And the word covetousness simply means strong evil desire. themselves, they have done wrong. The two wrongs don't make a right. But you see there at the beginning of the verse, the word mortify, it means to make as though dead. To make as though dead. That's what the apostle had to do. That's what he meant when he was writing there in 1 Corinthians. And I wonder this morning, has the spirit of this age been dragging you down, Christian? Because the spirit of the age would drag us all down if we didn't have the word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. And discipline by its very birth, by its very nature, is not something that is easy. Remember Samuel. Samuel was a tremendous example of discipline. But the secret of everything else that Samuel wants, again, was his prayer life. He was really a hinge pin in the whole faith of his nation and country at that time. But everything he did and everything he was all stemmed from the fact that he was a mighty man of prayer. You and I need to seek help and we need to seek it often. The Colossians here needed to be disciplined. The easy road out for them was to basically just to doubt the word of God. To somewhere or other give some kind of allegiance to what you're doing, but take on board this new person. And that was on the slippery slope to ruin. They would be sorry on the slippery slope to ruin if they had done that. And let's face it, today, the easy road out, it seems to hold greater people for people. But the practice of discipline is absolutely necessary. Honor would be found in the disciplined walk, and honor would be found here. Today in Northern Ireland for the Christian in a disciplined walk. I'm sure you read the Vision magazine there and you read that story of the pastor in Canada, how the man had come and there was issues with him and he wasn't going to be admitted into community membership of the church. He came around to speak with the pastor and the Reverend McMahon, who's now the Reverend McMahon, the retired minister, Reverend Frank McMahon, came around. Frank was there with his little girl, who was 9, she's now in the mid-50s. But she was there, Jill was there, and the man pulled out the gun and shot the minister dead. And one time was done. And it was through that that Mr. McFallon got led into the ministry and got back home here to Northern Ireland and trained and went into the ministry in Tandrick Union, as you know, over in Canada for a great number of years. Would you say that that man was living a disciplined life? He was not. Was the devil, did the devil use him? Of course he did. Because we have hearted it. Not only to the family, but to the whole work of God. And therefore, this practice, and I'm not saying that there's anyone here who would ever go to events, but our heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can do it? Who can do it? That man is a good wife. That's what he did. There's a problem of delay, the practice of discipline which Paul was exhorting to them here when he's speaking about fulfilling the word, but the promise of deliverance. I'll read 26 and 27. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a clear message, here to preach. And what personal comfort this would have been to the Gentiles. This message that Paul was to preach, it mentions a church that is made up of Jews and Gentiles. And you can imagine what this would have meant to the Gentile people, those who were not Jews. You see, in the Old Testament, a Gentile, so-called, had to become a Jewish proselyte. Had to become a proselyte in order to share the blessings of Israel. And Paul now speaks of Jews and Gentiles in the name of the church being saved by faith in Christ alone. He wanted to make them very, very clear that whatever their background was, Christ was the answer for them. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They once lived in ignorance and darkness, but now he's saying, you're alive in Christ. And don't let any of these heretics fool you. That your background alienates you now from what is found in Jesus Christ. You see, it was a message of deliverance, and folks, the message of the gospel is still a message of deliverance. There's only hope for Ulster. It's all there is for men and women in this country. If they will come and trust the Savior, there's only hope. Lord, will help us as believers to be determined that we will be fulfilling the word of God. So important for our own congregation, so important for those around us. The fact that people may reject you and reject your message, that doesn't have something to do with it. Our responsibility is to be devoted and to have that focus on delivering all the counsel of God. And what about you as an individual? God's mercy has extended towards you for a long time now. And yet the gospel message holds no attraction. Dying substitute, the cross, doesn't mean anything to you. A risen Redeemer, something you know well about, but perhaps just not for now. If your need is faith, come to the church. Then you can find Him. Seek Him. You will be found. You can find the Lord today.